The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
And now, The Trumpet Daily with Stephen Flurry.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Trumpet Daily Radio Show. If you'd like to email the program, send your comments to td@kpcg.fm. Hopefully, we can get through a few of those tomorrow or first thing next week. Appreciate your encouraging remarks. Thanks to Brad McDonald and Richard Palmer for filling in yesterday in the hot seat, as I think Mr. McDonald put it. Appreciate them picking up the slack for us. A few of us went down to London for a huge broadcast video expo in downtown London. We took Sam, who helps produce the radio show, and Jesse, who helps produce so many of the videos over here in the UK. And the three of us were able to walk through this this huge exhibition center with hundreds of exhibits, I think, all of the latest, greatest technology in the industry, the software, the cameras, the special effects, the lighting, the tripods, the jibs, all the virtual sets. That was pretty amazing to see. State-of-the-art stuff, so much of it pretty far over my head. But what an explosion of knowledge and technology there has been in the past many decades. Herbert Armstrong talked about this a lot all through the 20th century. I mean, he was born, I believe it was in 1898 and died in 1986. So he lived for the better part of the 20th century. And he saw so many dramatic changes, and look at the dramatic changes and improvements and upgrades in technology even since 1986. You don't have to go back that far. Prior to 1900, it was basically the print industry. That was the world's only mass medium. And yet look at what's happened in the last century or so. All these mass mediums just springing to life and spreading all over the earth. The distribution of movies and program content on radio, such as this. Television technology, of course, the internet, the information age. Quite a lot of the latest, greatest developments in this field, as I said, it's a little bit over my head. But there are also quite a few lectures at this expo from professionals in the world of filmmaking and television production, writers, directors, photographers, editors. And I tried to sit in on as many of these as I could. And really some interesting lectures, some interesting panels, some interesting interviews. One filmmaker, a really talented individual, a young guy who has produced some stunning documentaries for CNN and other distributors. He had a lot to say about making a quality production with a relatively small crew and with limited equipment. And he gave an encouraging lecture, particularly for our guys, as we have so few. And although we do have some pretty amazing pieces of equipment, you can always use a little bit more, I guess, a few more pieces to fill in some of the gaps. In any event, I mean, here was a creative and talented individual who is offering some helpful advice that just do the best you can with what you have. And in the end, if you tell a great story, and if you're passionate about it, and if you're creative, it'll attract attention. It'll attract viewers or listeners or readers. I sat in on one lecture with this other up-and-coming director I hadn't heard of him before, but it was interesting just listening to him, a rags-to-riches story, I guess you could say. He talked about how he had been working in a dead-end office job for a number of years, and how that he was just working on filmmaking on the side as a hobby, a passionate hobby. And he wrote scripts along with this, and how that he just stayed with it. And in his speech, there was quite a lot about some of those laws of success, resourcefulness and perseverance. And then in just listening to the man talk, as he was being interviewed, he was very eloquent. He looked fairly clean cut from what I could observe. And they talked about this film that he had made last year and just how critically acclaimed it was and really how it's just going to break him into the scene in a spectacular fashion. What an introduction to this director. And then I come away from that yesterday. I looked up a review on his film this morning. One that he made last year, and I won't say who it is or what the film is, but you can't imagine a darker, more perverse theme than this movie and this individual that I heard from yesterday. He wrote it. He wrote the script. He directed it. I mean, this was his baby. This was his project from start to finish. This was his first major Hollywood production. And what a waste. What a waste. That really struck me as I walked through that huge room yesterday as well. I mean, in one sense, you're kind of in awe of the technology and what man has been able to do. But on the other hand, look at what so much of that technology is distributing. There was another speaker, a founder of a company there in Silicon Valley, and he talked about how pornography is what really drives innovation and advancement in this particular field. There's such a demand for pornography, and they're looking for ways to distribute it easier, cheaper, faster. When he said this, and of course when he did, by the way, everyone chuckles. It's funny. It's funny that pornography is so ubiquitous. It made me think of this quote early on in my father's booklet, No Freedom Without Law. He's referring to an article from, I think it's back in 2000, and how that the internet is just saturated with pornography. It's such a huge business. If you've read the booklet, you'll remember this. But he, in referring to this article, he said the above article called pornography, quote, the economic powerhouse of the internet, one of the largest industries in the U.S., and the mother of internet intervention, or rather invention, sorry, the mother of internet invention. It's driving the push to improve technology, to come up with more sophisticated ways to distribute this content. And so, as I say, you visit this expo, and on the one hand, you have all of this sophisticated technology that allows practically anyone from anywhere on Earth to broadcast a message or tell a story or post content or make a film, you name it. I mean, you can do it with a phone and a laptop. And yet, and we make good use of this kind of technology ourselves to get a message out. But as I say, look at the massive amount of evil that spreads through these mediums as well. Herbert Armstrong, in his book, The Missing Dimension in Sex, he talked about those who tried to make light of this cultural and social slide downward during the 1960s and 70s with the sexual revolution and such. And he was saying that people were saying this swing to the new morality. It was no different than any other decadent time in history. I mean, we've gone through these wild swings from one end or extreme and then back to the other. And Mr. Armstrong said, look, this is not just one swing to this side and then we're coming back to the other side. He said in his book, human nature is the same. Okay, that's true. Human nature is the same. But we simply live in a different world today. The emergence of the phonograph, the automobile, the motion picture, radio, and television, and other productions of the machine age have brought new influences and changing customs. He says human nature adapting to changing times expresses itself very differently today. That's the thing. I mean, human nature, you know all about the source of human nature. It's in Ephesians 2, verses 2 and 3. Read it. There's a great being behind all of this evil today. And even since Mr. Armstrong wrote what I just quoted there, that evil being has been cast down to this earth, and he's filled with wrath and hatred. His mind is bent on evil continually, violence. Human nature adapting to changing times expresses itself very differently today. You see, I should have known as soon as the interviewer said, well, this is a critically acclaimed film that this man has made. That right there is your big clue that it's probably very perverse and weird and demented and all those things. Because it has to be. If it wins awards today, it has to be weird. It has to be crazy. It has to be depressing. It has to be dark. It has to be violent. It has to be filled with sexual activity. That's what so much of this technology is distributing. Mr. Armstrong, again, that quote I just gave to you, it was before Satan was cast down to this earth. And also, he's talking about the emergence of the phonograph and the automobile and the motion picture. And yet, look at where we are today with the internet, smartphones, HD, virtual technology, all these things. 2 Timothy 3:1 says, this know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. You walk through this huge expo center, and I mean, you're just dazzled by how bright and shiny and flashy everything is, and everything's so expensive. The latest, the greatest, state of the art. And yet look at what it's produced. And look at the world that we live in. And look at people. Look at how unhappy and discontented so many people are. That passage, 2 Timothy 3, Paul describes our generation as ever learning. I mean, there's just something new and better and faster and more convenient with each passing day. Ever learning, but never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Paul's describing this generation, where we've witnessed this explosion of materialistic knowledge. And the more we produce, the further we get from the truth. This is the great paradox that Mr. Armstrong spoke of on so many occasions. All these advances in technology, and yet have these advances put an end to war and suffering? One television producer, and I think the program he produces, it's a UK program, but he talked about how television is such a great force for good. And his program may be on balance a little bit better than so much of the others, but still, he's under the impression that television is such a great force for good. Well, it can be. It should be. But it certainly isn't in this world. You have to search long and hard to just find decent programming today. Worthwhile programming. Uplifting programming. Wholesome programming. The worse it is, the more critically acclaimed it will be. What a great paradox. Notice what Herbert Armstrong said in a message he gave back in January of 1982.
This world doesn't know right from wrong, and this world is in deep trouble. This world is in an almost unbelievable paradox. As I've said time and time again, here we are in a world, in some areas of the world, of awesome progress, awesome accomplishment. And I've said things like, for example, television, the motion picture, the electric light, sending men to the moon and back, close-up photographs right from the surface of Mars, things that they can do. But all of that progress at the same time accompanied by appalling evils, heartache, suffering. Nearly everybody on earth is discontented and unhappy. There's no happiness anymore. Everybody is seeking some kind of excitement, some kind of sensual thrill, some kind of excitement or amusement. The world is in trouble. The world is full of violence, of every crime, of every evil. As I've said so many times, husband and wife can't get along. Parents and children can't get along. Even brother and sister can't get along, or a pair of sisters or brothers. Family can't get along with next door neighbor. Capital can't get along with labor. Black can't get along with white, or white with black. They can't get along together. Nation can't get along with nation. Group can't get along with group. And we have troubles. And they don't know how to solve these troubles in our courts.
So many troubles. That's the paradox. All of this progress, and at the same time, as he said there, it's accompanied by appalling evils. I mean, it's, as he said at the top, almost unbelievable, this paradox. It's hard to believe that there could be so much evil, so much suffering in a world with so much advancement and technology. Well, the technology has contributed to the problems in so many ways. If it's not out there distributing the evil, it's there to fill this massive void so that people can escape the real world and head off into some virtual world where there's some kind of sensual thrill, any kind of excitement or amusement. And the more we get into it, the farther we are removed from God. The prophet Hosea said, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge." Lack of knowledge. Because you have rejected knowledge, I'll reject you. You've forgotten the law of God, he said. All the technology in the world is there, but there's a lack of knowledge. Verse 7 says, Hosea 4 and verse 7, "As they were increased, so they sinned against me." As they grew, as they multiplied, as these advancements continued, so did the sins. In Paul Johnson's book, he's the British historian, A History of the American People. Great book, by the way. In that book, he talks about what led up to the sexual revolution of the 1960s. And he focused, in this particular passage, he focused specifically on the findings of Dr. Alfred Kinsey in 1948. This doctor who conducted this huge study about sexual behavior and such. But Johnson writes in his book, as the TV habits spread and took deep root, and as the medium made itself indispensable to all the purveyors of mass consumption goods and services, it became indispensable. It's just like the smartphones. You get on the tube in downtown London and 9 out of 10 people, they're going to be plugged in. Even if they board the tube with a group of people, for the most part, they're plugged in. They're looking at their phone. They've got the headphones on. They're in another world. It's incredible technology. And if it's used the right way, it really can help to dispense with a message that this world needs. Back to Paul Johnson's quote, he said, talking about how this medium became indispensable to all the purveyors of mass consumption goods and services, those who ran the networks and stations began to flex their cultural muscles and contemplate a society in which all standard measurements of behavior would be up for redefinition and moral relativism based on ratings would rule. Thus the way to the 1960s was prepared, and what began as a sexual revolution was to bring about revolutions in many other areas too. It spread. The spirit of revolt was in the air. Cast off all restraints, as we discussed with you last week on the subject of the rule of law. Cast off all restraints. Lower the standards. Everything's relative. We've got to update. We've got to get with the times. This next clip, this is from the same message by Herbert Armstrong, and he's talking about, in this section, the cause for all the evils and the suffering that we see in the world today.
Everything is a matter of cause and effect. For every effect, there has to be a cause. For all of the troubles in the world, something is causing them. And I can tell you in a word what is causing them, and I don't have to convince you people because I'm sure you already know. It's just a little three-letter word, S-I-N, sin. Now, what is sin? 1 John 3:4, sin is the transgression of law or of the law.
Sin is the transgression of God's law. It's transgressing against God's perfect and holy laws. And that's the cause for all of the troubles that we see in the world today. Cause and effect. And those troubles are increasing because evil is increasing. 2 Timothy 3:13. Evil is being reproduced and distributed like never before. That's the world we live in. And in his own life, Herbert Armstrong saw this almost unbelievable paradox right up close as he traveled the world, as he made use of these advancements in technology, and at the same time saw a world descend into darkness. And all of this is prophesied. I mean, this doesn't come as a shock to any of you listening, I don't think. It's what Jesus said would happen in the lead up to Great Tribulation. It's what so many of the prophets of old wrote about hundreds, thousands of years in advance. Isaiah, this is chapter 1. Notice what the prophet here says, verse 2, "Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for the Lord has spoken. I've nourished up and brought up children, and they've rebelled against me. The ox knows his owner, and the ass his master's crib, but Israel does not know. My people does not consider." It's just like what Hosea said. Destroyed for lack of knowledge. All of this technology, and yet no knowledge. Think about the time, and this is coming. That's the thing. Think about a time just ahead of us when all of that technology, when all of that advancement, when all of that equipment will be used to further God's work on earth, to spread the message of hope, to distribute instruction and teaching on God's perfect, holy laws. It says in verse 4 of Isaiah 1, "Ah, sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a seed of evildoers, children that are corruptors. They have forsaken the Lord. They've provoked the Holy One of Israel to anger. They are gone away backward." That's what so many of these advancements, that's where it's taking us. We think we're progressing. We think we're sophisticated. We think that we're really making the kind of progress that's going to solve the problems of this world. And yet, as God says here, we're going away backward. We're taking steps back, because we're drifting farther and farther from God. Well, it's more than a drift. Romans 8 says the carnal mind is hostile to God. And that's what you see. So much hostility toward God. I mean, we are in awe of technology. We're in awe of the latest, greatest development. But we are hostile to God and to His law. We're hostile to the Bible. The truth of the Bible. And that's the way the carnal mind is, because of that strong influence coming from the devil. It's a sickness, Jesus said in Matthew 9. Jeremiah 17, we've gone to before as well. All these passages about that evil nature. Look at the world that nature has produced. This is the world that Paul said in 2 Corinthians 6 that we want to come out of. It's not clean. And so God says to be separate from it. It really does take a discerning mind, because you see in God's work, and it was kind of humbling in a way, looking at all this technology. And yet, as one of those presenters said, I mean, don't be in awe of it. Just do the best you can with what you have, and be professional. Put together a professional production. And yet still, you walk through this great expo center and you feel like, well, I don't even belong here. This is way over my head. Only in God's work, though, do you see, and you saw it with Mr. Armstrong's work as well. Do you see an organization really making use of equipment and advancements and developments the way that it should, using it for godly purposes? But what a wonderful time it will be in the wonderful world tomorrow, when all of this advancement and this technology, this human ingenuity with godly direction, will be put to good use in support of God's work. When we come back, we'll look at the positive side to these advancements in technology and how the work is making use of it today. You're listening to the Trumpet Daily Radio Show on KPCG 101.3 on the FM dial in Edmond, Oklahoma. And the live stream is available at thetrumpet.com and also at kpcg.fm. Either of those websites can take you to the live stream of this broadcast, which comes to you live from Edstone. And because of modern technology, the message goes direct back to our headquarters campus in Oklahoma, and then out to you around the world through the internet or over the airwaves there in North Edmond, Oklahoma. We'll be right back.
This is KPCG-FM, and this is the Trumpet Daily. Could anything be more mysterious than the question of the unseen spirit world? Angelic beings have always been a mystery to people on the earth. Do angels actually exist? Is there, in fact, a Satan, the devil? Is Satan a literal, immortal being? Did God create a devil? To understand more about the mystery of angels and evil spirits, be sure to request Herbert W. Armstrong's masterful work, Mystery of the Ages. To learn more, please visit thetrumpet.com. From the Philadelphia Church of God campus in Edstone, England, this is the Trumpet Daily Program with Stephen Flurry.
It's been almost 20 years since my father told the editorial department at headquarters in Edmond that the technology that we have in God's work, that in many ways that's like our watchtower. Those prophets of old that were up high in the watchtower and could see and could peer out into the distance and then sound the alarm and then blow the trumpet. He said that we had to use that technology, that modern technology, to serve as the watchtower, to put us up high so that we could see what was going on, and then use that same technology to dispense with God's message. And as he said to us, I think it was in 1997, that really this is the only purpose for the technology that God has made available. You look at how few people there are supporting this work, and yet the message and the growth, I mean, it's there for all to see. And in many ways, because of the technology God has made available, you can look on your own time to that passage in Isaiah 21 about the watchman and how he's there in the tower and he's leaning forward. He's peering off into the distance, doing everything that he can to see all of the detail, to get the widest possible view, so that he could give an accurate warning message. And that's what a godly watchman has to do. It's someone who understands and perceives what's happening far into the future, way out in the distance, and who can then explain it, declare it to anyone who will listen. And that's what this church is here doing. That's what God's servant in Edmond, Oklahoma is doing, delivering a message to this world. And the worse it gets, the more people are going to be looking for this message, because they'll be looking for answers. And as we've brought out on this program many times, this work has a history of providing answers, of giving you the forecast, an accurate forecast. People are going to come along later. Those that who are, as Mr. Armstrong said in that clip I played for you, they're just out escaping, looking for the latest sensual thrill, the newest excitement or amusement. But as this world continues on the course that it's on, more and more are going to be searching for answers. More and more are going to see this work and its message. Let's look at John chapter 14, the Gospel of John. They're going to come because of the breakdown and because of this accurate forecast. And also, certainly, part of it has to do with just the professional way that it's distributed. There's always room for improvement. And as I say, it's a little bit humbling just walking through an expo center with so much sophisticated technology. And yet look at what God has been able to do in this work with the lowly, as it says in 1 Corinthians 1. Visit the headquarters campus sometime. Look at the house of God, Armstrong Auditorium. And then look at the production. Look at the publications. Look at the magazine. It was a small beginning back in 1990. But you look at where we are today, and God has really brought people along in-house. He's brought people along and educated them and gotten them involved. As I say to our students so often, I mean, where else is there a place on this earth, an organization, a corporation, where you could come on board at 18, 19, or 20 years of age and work on projects that are so meaningful? I mean, leave aside all of that perverse, ungodly content. What if you're using that equipment that we saw yesterday just to produce a silly commercial that advertises a car or something? Well, in my mind, that's not near as exciting as what so many of the young people coming through Armstrong College and the Imperial Academy before that are able to do and participate in, and how they're able to use technology and help the work and support God's effort to proclaim His message. John 14 and verse 12, it says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believes on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father." Jesus said he'd back us up. He'd intercede for us. And God would perform miracles to get this work done. In my Father's book, John's Gospel, The Love of God, he said, "We have greater means to reach around the world through television, satellite, publications, and mail distribution, and the internet. That enables us to do greater works than Christ could do. Despite our small numbers, Christ continues to bless our work with significant growth." Here we are. I mean, God's developed, or certainly allowed, the development of this sophisticated technology so that we can finish this work, so that we can do it even with just a few people. That really stood out yesterday as well in so many of those discussions. Now, on the one hand, you have the massive, huge Hollywood productions where there's hundreds of people involved in the project, and one individual who's got the responsibility of working on sound for a small clip of just a few seconds, and he spends months on that. But then there's also quite a few examples of one or two man jobs, just a small group, a tiny team that's able to produce something that's right up there on a professional level. In my father's book, The Last Hour, he said, in Herbert Armstrong College, our students are taught how to write and speak like kings and priests. We have a message that must be communicated to all humanity. It says receiving God's message is just half of the responsibility. The second part is communicating it. And what a communication job. This message must be delivered to every person on earth. See, it's got to be declared. It's got to be proclaimed. And so when you look at the education that students at God's College receive, and then the work that they immediately delve into, the on-the-job program, or the work-study program, as we call it, they're brought in and meant to contribute. from the start. My father said, what good is the message if it's not declared and taught? What a failure if we don't deliver our father's message. What a calamity. Now is the time to be a witness for God. What a failure if we take all of this opportunity, if we take this technology and we fail to deliver the father's message and we instead get off onto something that's critically acclaimed and demented as well. He said, that is the purpose of this work. We declare God's message on television, in magazines, books, booklets, via the internet, any means by which we can deliver it in a quality way. That's what my father said in the last hour. Any way that we can deliver it in a quality way. I mean, we make mistakes sometimes, and you look back on older productions and think, well, there's definitely things that we could have done better with that. But when you see this work, for the most part, you see quality. Whether it's the headquarters campus or what's going on here at Edstone, or the literature, the publications that we produce, it's because God has a standard of perfection. And we aspire to that. And God backs it. And God performs miracles, and Christ is alongside God the Father, praying for us, praying for this work, going to the Father, so that this royal message can go out. In Isaiah, let's just go back to the prophet Isaiah and read a few passages here before we conclude. Isaiah 35. Of course, Herbert Armstrong before us, he was inspired to raise up a college, Ambassador College it was called, to help support the work in his day, the work of communicating that royal message to all of mankind, to declare that message. He was a real pioneer, Mr. Armstrong, starting a magazine in 1931 and then going on radio. Or I guess it would have been a few years later than 1931. But in any event, I mean, he was a pioneer in the world of publications, literature, magazines, booklets, books. And then what a booming radio voice he had for so many years. And then he broke into television. And he talked about all of these advancements and all the things that God enabled him to do. I've got an excellent quote here from him on that point. Let me just see if I can locate it here in my notes. But this is Mr. Armstrong talking about how the work had expanded and grown over the years. Again, he lived a long life. He lived almost throughout the entirety of the 20th century. He's writing here in 1974, after 40 years, God has performed an astounding, tremendous miracle. He's opened unheard of doors. He's given me astonishing favor with the top heads of state of nation after nation after nation around the world. He was talking about traveling the world on the plane, the G2 that God had given him, the G3. Meeting with heads of state, an unofficial ambassador for world peace. But then later on in this same letter, he says, all of this is an example of how the living Christ actually and literally guides and himself directs this work. It cannot be and is not a static work on a constant, unchanging routine. It sometimes requires change, new ideas, ways, and methods. And so, he really made use of new developments, new methods. It's not that everything in that work was just absolutely cutting edge, but he really did explore new ideas, new ways, new methods. He made changes. He incorporated new technologies. Any means possible to distribute that royal message. And then, of course, together with that, he was doing his part, and then God backed him. And God opened doors, miraculously. It's God's work, after all. It's his work. But we've got to do our part. We've got to be passionate about it. We've got to look for any and every way that we can produce this, deliver this in a quality way, as my father was saying. It says in this letter from Herbert Armstrong, this new dimension, now getting the message into the great mass population Gentile countries is something that could not have been done 7 to 10 years ago. Even if Christ had opened these doors, we did not yet have the facilities. Notice this. Even if Christ had opened these doors, we did not yet have the facilities and the resources to follow through on it then. He said, it's amazing how right timing has played such an important part in God's work, and proof he directed the timing. All of these doors opened right up at the time when they had the facilities and the resources to actually follow through. It says, in the mind of God, this is the most important activity on earth. It's his activity, the work he's doing through us. What a transcendent commission. What an awesome transcendent commission this is. It's the greatest work in the world. It's the most important commission in the world. And God opens doors for his work, for his servants, and he expects his people to walk on through in faith, to trust him, and to use the facilities, to use the resources, to use the support that comes in for God's purposes. And then to pray earnestly, to pour our hearts into the work, so that miracles can further that message. Any means by which we can deliver God's message, God's truth, in a quality way. Let's actually, I think I'm about out of time, so let's skip Isaiah and just look at Ezekiel. Ezekiel 33 here in conclusion. Ezekiel 33, verse 10. You know, I've said before about all that was happening there in Mr. Armstrong's life and in the work of the church there in the late 70s and early 1980s. All of these tremendous accomplishments. And they came along right at the end of his life when he was in his 80s and 90s. He had such a spirit, such a lively spirit, such an energetic focus, and of course such a close relationship with God. And God provided the means, the facilities, and the resources for him to blast away with that royal message. And to do it in a quality way, in a professional way. Ezekiel 33:10, it says, therefore, O you son of man, speak unto the house of Israel. Thus you speak, saying, if our transgressions and our sins be upon us, and we pine away in them, how should we then live? Saying to them, as I live, says the eternal God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn you, turn from your evil ways, for why will you die, O house of Israel? Turn away from the evil and listen to God's message and focus on the royal message. It's hard to do when, well, Satan's just bombarding this world and the people of Israel in particular with so much filth, so much filth. So much materialism, so much perversion. But we've got to, even as hard as it is, we've got to seek God out and view things the way God views things. Look at verse 28, further down in the chapter. It says, "For I will lay the land most desolate, and the pomp of her strength shall cease, and the mountains of Israel shall be desolate, that none shall pass through. Then shall they know that I am the Eternal, when I've laid the land most desolate, because of all their abominations which they have committed." See, there's cause and effect. As Mr. Armstrong said in that clip, cause and effect. Why all the evil? Why all the suffering? Why so much discouragement? Why are so many people drugged up and in despair? Why are so many people carrying on in life with hopelessness, divided and angry? Well, it gets back to cause. S-I-N, as Mr. Armstrong spelled it out. Verse 30 in the Moffat translation, "As for you, O son of man, your people are talking about you in the streets and at the doors of their houses, saying one to another, 'Come, let us hear what is the word from the Eternal today. Let's go hear this message.'" I mean, it's getting really bad. And there is one organization that uses its facilities and uses its resources for righteous purposes. And people are going to congregate together to hear what that work of God is saying. Verse 31, "And they come unto you as the people come, and they sit before you as my people. And they hear your words, but they will not do them. For with their mouth they show much love, but their heart goes after their covetousness." So they're going to seek out the message, but even still, so many will refuse to apply it, to heed the warning. But they're going to be eager to hear the message, and the reason for that is because nations are collapsing all around. It's hard to find people who will really devote their lives to the truth of God when times are good, when you have access to the latest, greatest everything, when you can seek out any of the many sensual, as Mr. Armstrong said, or stimulating thrill, the latest excitement or amusement. But the worse things get, the more attention is going to come on God's church and work. Verse 32, "And lo, you are unto them as a very lovely song of one that has a pleasant voice and can play well on an instrument, for they hear your words, but they don't do them." They hear the words. They hear truth. But they don't do. They don't act. But still, God says, go. Deliver this message. Don't be discouraged. Don't get down yourself because of a lack of response. It says in verse 33, "And when this comes to pass, lo, it will come. Then shall they know that a prophet has been among them." See, when the prophecies come to pass, then they will know. Then they'll know. That means that that message, God's truth, it will have gone out. I mean, how would they ever know if they weren't given a powerful and clear watchman warning in a quality way? How would they know? They know. They know because the message goes out, and it's going to get more and more powerful, more and more clear, more and more amplified, more and more professional with each passing day. You're listening to the Trumpet Daily Radio Show on KPCG 101.3 on the FM dial in Edmond. The live stream's available at thetrumpet.com and also at Trumpet Radio on the kpcg.fm website. Don't forget to send us your emails as we approach yet another weekend. td@kpcg.fm. Thank you for joining us today, and we'll see you again tomorrow.